The Internet, the final frontier.
Well, hello. On today's episode, we kick off a new season of Boldly Go Nowhere. Plus, we'll talk about elderly people, deaf people, possibly other disadvantaged people. You'll just have to find out. I'm Justin Eisenstadt.
I'm Colin Kakavas.
I'm Sean Holmes.
I'm Benjamin Price.
And you just got to the good part. Strap in and sit tight, because we are boldly going nowhere. Hello and welcome to episode 56 of Boldly Going Nowhere. I'm Justin Eisenstadt.
And I'm Colin Kakamas.
I'm Sean Holmes.
And I'm Benjamin Price.
And guest with us today, BGN correspondent, Brian Massey.
Howdy.
Howdy. Howdy, howdy. Did you miss us? Because it's been a while.
We missed you too.
We missed
yes.
you too.
Yes, we love you.
They're back.
We love y'all.
They're back. A dinosaur story.
we're back.
Fuck that movie.
You probably didn't notice that we're gone because we've been putting up episodes
yeah.
in the meantime. But this is the first new episode that we're recording in over a month.
It seems like a decade, really.
It really does yeah. seem like a long time since we've all sat around the mics.
I know. It feels home again. It feels like I'm home.
It feels
well. Maybe because I'm in my apartment.
Maybe because we're in your home. That's a new. yeah. So that's a new. Let's start there because we got lots of new stuff, lots of new things to talk about. Number one is that Sean has moved out of his parents' house.
Yay. I moved out of my parents' house. I moved jobs. I don't work for the C word anymore.
Cue the Jeffersons theme song.
Yeah. Actually, I moved two jobs. I moved with Fells Wargo. I went to Fells Wargo, and I originally was clicking on documents and just reading them and checking for signatures, and it's a mindless drone on day in day out activity.
Documents, man.
I know. And now I actually get to call people. I get to scan through documents for investors. It's great. I love that. I love my job.
You like making phone calls?
I don't mind it. I mean, I have like a headset and everything, so it's really easy. I'm just going, hey, what's up?
I need to get a headset.
Give me my document, bitch.
I feel like
I can talk to actual like law firms and not like and all sorts of places, entitlement agencies. Not I don't contact customers.
Huh. Okay.
So,
well,
that, so that's
you're
what's
not harassing people.
No, I'm just saying I need a document.
And you're
like,
you're
here
just
you go.
Strictly business calls.
Yeah.
To other business people.
Yeah, it's business to business to business.
Professionals.
Not business to personal. It's business to business.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah. I would say I mainly just make phone calls all day in my day job, but I'm just calling old people, mainly just elderly people. And
about what?
Bob Barker? Alive? Why is he gone?
Are you still alive? Just call and check in on you. You still alive?
No, we miss you.
We miss you.
Mr. Hi. Johnson, it's time
I
for
love
your
you, Grandma.
You should do that. I missed you. What?
Is this Thomas?
I gotta make boom boom.
Bard! Come back here, Bard!
Anyway.
Mr. Johnson, you cannot put your table scraps in the mailbox. That's not where they go.
Why not?
Hey.
Fuck it!
I want other people to see them.
Fuck it! I'm old!
anyway.
He says it every day.
Most of them are not that bad. It's just the thing is, elderly people, they, as a rule, kind of don't use email or computer, so if I need to, you know.
I don't want to use the fancy box.
You know, if I have to tell them something, I have to call every single one of them, and oftentimes they just don't know who I am or what I'm talking about, even though I've talked to them before.
Or that older will explain their life to you?
Actually, surprisingly, no. I was always thinking when I started this job that I was going to have to sit there on the phone for 30 minutes every time to listen to their war stories.
And my grandson said that he was going to go graduate, and now he's in school.
Why hasn't he called me?
I never hear from him.
Ma'am, I don't know who your grandson is. Tell him to call more.
I think he's on the dope.
He's doping.
We used to roll up cow doo-doo and smoke it when I was around.
But actually, the it's really more the case that they just don't want to be bothered.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to be bothered either. That's something like...
I would think that most of them live alone. They don't have anybody to talk to. I think they'd be excited that someone is actually calling them and wants to talk to them, but most of the time... Who are you? No, I'm not interested in that. I don't want anything. I'm not selling anything.
How did you get my phone?
You're not calling the nurse. I mean, are you calling the nursing homes?
No, these are people who are, you know,
well, they're free range animals. That's like trying to talk to a wild animal. You know.
No.
Well, it's not the same, Sean. It's not like he can call them with a German Shepherd and have the German Shepherd bark into the phone to get them to pay attention.
To be fair, though,
I recommend that highly.
I'm not comparing old people to barn animals.
I'm just saying.
No, to be fair, most of them are actually pretty nice. Most of them are quite friendly and nice to work with. The one thing that I do have an issue with is that a lot of our clients speak Russian, like no English at all, and I do not speak a word of Russian, and so that creates some issues. Like just the other day, I actually had to basically like lead this like meeting, this like forum for all these like 70, 80-year-old Russian speakers, and because of they're all, you know, immigrants from Russia. Because of their experiences, where they come from and everything, they don't trust authority. They don't trust the police. And so the neighborhood that they live in is a huge target for crime. And they don't call the police. Because, first of all, they don't trust the police and they're not going to call them. And second of all, they're like, well, the police don't speak my language, so why should I bother calling them? So
is this a Death Wish 3 scenario?
In what way? In which way?
Well, cause
do you think an 80-year-old Russian man is going to go Charles Bronson on everything?
Well, that's what happened in Death Wish 3.
Yeah, I don't think Charles Bronson was 80, though. I think
No. In Death Wish 3, what happened was Charles Bronson went and visited an elderly friend of his, and it was a neighborhood in New York City where it was being overrun by criminals, and so basically Charles Bronson, you know, by setting an example saying you can fight back against those thugs, all the old people got guns and started killing criminals.
In Soviet Russia, movie Death Wish You.
Hopefully that's not the case here. That would be really bad. Be the exact opposite of what we want to happen.
In Soviet Russia, old people call you.
We are trying to work with the police to do outreach to just explain to these people that, hey, if something happens, call 911. They are here to help. They will come and they will... catch the bad people.
I got a question. Wouldn't the recent technology that's been out there? I saw a commercial on the TV. Wouldn't Life Alert take away your job though?
In what?
Because I wear one. Because you said you got to say call 911. If they have the Life Alert, they just press the button.
Yeah, but they don't know what Life Alert is. They don't. Oh.
He has to inform
English.
Them about those things.
Oh, good, good. Give them Life Alert.
When I was there. And nobody was there. Life Alert was there for me.
I fall in and
I can't get up.
It just beeps. No one comes.
I'm old and I wear one.
So
I'm old. Here's my necklace. It summons people. It's a wonderful thing.
It summons people.
You know, sometimes when I'm lonely and I just want someone to talk to, I just click the button.
I just press Life Alert and suddenly I have a friend.
Okay. We really look at them in a red truck. Okay.
Who worked the Wii?
Okay, seriously. We need to stop mocking the elderly. It's
yeah,
not
before
nice.
I like lose well, my
why,
job.
Why can't
or something?
They invent just a friend alert for the elderly?
You didn't
so
say
they
who you're working
it,
for.
You just get
I
a friend.
Didn't, but if they listen to this, I mean, my like this isn't like you know some of your guys' jobs where you are like not allowed to talk about your jobs. Like I'm perfectly allowed to talk about my job and
oh,
everything.
Yeah.
So there's no
Am
I super
wonder old elderly people are wise people and we should always respect
yeah.
them.
Yeah. My supervisor,
I didn't say that. It was my evil twin Schmon.
My supervisor is awesome and she totally has a sense of humor and she like I think she'd be fine with it because both of us constantly make jokes about the people that we have to
okay.
work with.
And
when
the fact
we, like,
that now you're mentioning
I back
that on
just
air,
to be, safe.
It's going to make your cause even less.
Oh, yeah. Those people are like, we hate them. We hate them.
Wait. You really think any of the elderly people are listening to a podcast?
No, they're not. I'm not worried about offending elderly people. I'm worried about you, Justin.
It's probably going to end up like a Simpsons episode where like one of them is like, oh, wait, what's this thing? Oh,
Justin, you are so sued. You know, like
boldly going nowhere. Let
I haven't
me click
named
the
names.
Button.
I've not named any names. I have not named any particulars or details. I didn't say where these people live. But anyways, I had to. You know, I'm standing in front of this group of Russian people. The translator's late. You know, and so
oh,
just me
sucks.
And a bunch of people who don't speak English, and I'm just. I don't know, trying to dance a jig or something, trying to entertain them.
That's why you need to have like
did
a...
Did you actually dance?
An Apple product
no,
there
No, I
to
just
kind
of smiled, and one of them spoke like a handful of words, but it was just an awkward situation.
I box you to freeway. What?
You know, speaking of this language barrier,
president.
Just changing the subject here real quick, just with this language barrier, I notice a lot of foreigners that are especially older... That have immigrated from, you know, other countries.
Right.
That have come here. They don't speak English. They tend to stick like with Vincenzo. He's, you know, he's got Italian in him. His other grandparents, he's got, you know, two sets really, but
was it Italian, right?
Yeah, it's Italian. But anyways, his other grandparents that live in California, when he calls them, he has to speak Italian. They will not answer the phone unless he answers in Italian.
I actually think I might have an answer for this.
That's pretty awesome,
yeah.
Though. I will say, because it gives you an excuse to speak Italian. And then when you're speaking Italian on the phone, that's freaking awesome. So they're like, what a beach, y'all.
Yeah, but he's not like fluent in it or anything like that. He just...
Well, what I think
it
might be is...
awkward when he calls them.
You know how they have like little Italys and little Chinas,
yeah,
and stuff like that? I think that that's a major reason, because what they are is like they originally started as small sects in small parts of the city.
Well, they clump together because they feel, you know, connected.
Well, yeah, I mean, you want to be around people who speak the same language,
understand,
have the same
you.
Customs, eat the same food. You just, it's natural.
It's a natural human habit, but what happens is it causes a lot of issues later down the road when you're trying to communicate and provide services for the group of people.
Well, I put the question forth, has anybody else been in one of those situations where you just had an utter language barrier that you had to overcome, particularly like in your job or something?
Anytime I call Verizon and I'm trying to get my, you know, bill or anything, it's like, hello, how are you? You know.
That's a different kind of scenario.
It's a different, slightly different scenario than what I'm talking about. But
I used to run into the problems all the time.
I mean, like, they legitimately didn't speak English at all. Not just they had an accent or something. But
this isn't they spoke a foreign language. They spoke sign language.
Oh, okay.
I was working at Walmart as a cashier, and they started signing to me, and I was like, I actually had to write out my responses. Like, I don't sign. I'm sorry. I had to do that, and, you know, they don't have that sort of service prepared for people, you know, in normal chain stores, you know, like people who exclusively sign.
Yeah.
You usually have to write out your response to them so that they understand. I mean, you think they like get people who are trained in that sort of thing.
Speaking of which, there is a huge community in Frederick that are deaf.
Well, yeah. This, I mean,
yeah, and a lot of
we
places.
The Maryland School for the Deaf.
One of my best friends growing up, he had deaf parents, and I used to go over his house all the time, and I got by, because it's one thing where you have a language impediment. It's another thing where it's sign language, where it's visual, and you really don't, when they're sitting there, you know when they're talking, because it's just that hands are just going, and they're just, I mean, I once went with him to like a deaf church, and the entire audience, the way they would this is kind of a visual reference in an audio podcast, but they would wave their hands up like this, and they'd be like, that's how they would applaud, like this.
Hallelujah.
So you got a bunch of people going,
so
hey!
Like jazz hands, basically.
Yeah, jazz hands.
It was really awesome.
What
really,
I wonder is
really
what
cool.
happens.
That's what Baptists do too, you know. Hallelujah.
Well, yeah,
praise
but this
the
they actually mean something, and it was just interesting to see just them socializing, me being over their house all the time. I kept kind of grew up with it. I love it.
Yeah, what I wonder is what happens when someone who speaks one type of sign language,
like pigeon speak,
meets someone who speaks completely different sign language.
Like ASL.
Yeah, I mean, like someone who speaks ASL
they usually get,
goes to like, I don't know, Germany or Japan or something, well, they speak a completely different sign language.
Well, usually it's something where they probably have an intermediary translator to translate between the both of those.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
I guess you'd have
I mean, because if you're a person who specializes in sign language, you know everything. Yeah. I mean, you know, from but there's a lot, there's very few of those people, and they're needing them all the time because yeah. there's so much.
Oh,
there's a lot. There's deaf people. There's a lot of people out there. So what are you saying, Ben?
Speaking of which, sign language in general is pretty standard for its meaning and its words. Now, sometimes when you're coming out to like spelling out the words, then you got, you know, the language barrier because they're spelling out the word within that language.
Yeah.
But overall,
yeah,
it's pretty standard.
But there are variations, and
yeah.
Cool. I mean, I should mention, since we're on this subject, I would be remiss if I didn't mention that Lena being my girlfriend, her mom is a social worker. She's getting her PhD in social work and specializes in deaf clients. Like, most of her clients are deaf. Well,
that's,
so
that's cool.
I should just learn sign
mention
language.
That. Right. So, like, and they have, you know, many people in their family who are deaf. You know, they had just recently had a deaf wedding, which I was totally going to go to, which would have been awesome. But that was back in October when we had that freak snowstorm.
Oh, yeah.
It was at a, like, ski place, so.
It was kind of ironic.
Kind of, actually. And so I couldn't make it there, but it would have been really cool to actually go to a deaf wedding.
It was really weird. I ran into a deaf person the other day, and, like, I didn't even know what they were, like, if they were deaf because I wasn't really paying attention to anyone around me. I was walking to the steam room because the Y has a steam room. I go in there and like it's completely like you can't see past the other side. I'm just hearing a smack. I'm hearing like he's grunting and something, and I hear him smacking. I'm like, what the hell is going on in here? What the fuck? And then the steam settles down and clears, and then this guy's signing. I'm like, oh, jeez. Because I'm thinking the worst things. I'm thinking like some guy's like wagging it, and there was a girl there. And right before I walked in, she was undoing her towels. It looks like she was sewing him as her boobs or something. And I was like, what the fuck is going on?
Wow.
Yeah,
that's a pretty cool one.
All right. Yeah. Well, anyways.
So anyway, that was a little tangent. But as you were saying with social working, sign language. In
no,
the
that's book. I just thought I'd throw that out there since it's relevant to the subject. But let's get back to the topic at hand, which is us doing this podcast and all the new and wonderful things that are happening for us. So Sean has moved into his own apartment, which is where we are now, and it's nice.
Thanks.
It's quite
recording.
Nice.
We have our own private studio.
It's my flat.
Yeah. It's the best studio thus far.
Yeah, it's swanky.
This is the most comfy couch I've ever sat on in my life.
Yeah, I gotta say
it's not. It's not bad. It's for my parents. I got it for my mom and dad.
I could definitely just sink into this thing. And
it is nice. Nice. I really just sneak in, play Wii. People are like, you have a Wii? Where is it? I don't see it. I'm like, well, you don't need to see it.
All you need is the sensor bar.
I'm sorry, lady. I'm sorry, guys. You don't need to see my Wii.
It's black, but you don't need to see it.
All right, what else? What else?
Frostbite.
Okay, I have a couple things, if I may.
Please, by all means.
Okay, well, as those of you who are friends of us on Facebook, and those who read the blog, bgnpodcast@blogspot.com.
I believe that's dot blogspot.
I'm sorry, dot blogspot.com. My mistake. Hey, you know what? You're a guest. Shut the hell up.
You will speak when spoken to.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Anyway, those of you who follow the Facebook page and the blog should know that we're well into our 2012 tour, or as I've come to call it, the beginning of the end of the world tour.
So tell us, Colin, what can we expect on the beginning of the end of the world tour?
Well, there are a couple of events in the D.C., Baltimore, you know, Maryland area.
Delmarva?
Yeah.
I don't think we're going to Delaware. Folks.
No.
There's
I don't know. Delaware, I mean, if the event strikes me in Delaware, then we'll go to Delaware.
I'm going
to
go to Wilmington. I'm going to go to the Screen Door Factory.
Yeah, there you go.
We're in Delaware.
But anyway, there are a couple of really cool events coming up in the next couple months. That
you want me
to
read them?
Well, what I'll do. Actually,
I got them right here.
Okay, well, no, I'll go over them. On March 16th through the 18th, we have the Art of Video Games exhibition at the Smithsonian Museum.
The Smithsonian people.
Right, which, you know, you hear those two things, video games and Smithsonian.
They're two separate things. Why are they coming together?
Right. It's like, you know, does not compute.
That not compute.
Yeah, you got video games in my high culture.
Right?
High culture. In
well, apparently...
Yes,
this whole
back in the day when they taught like 2600.
Well, and see, the thing is, this exhibition is finally bridging that gap of, okay, are video games just a distraction or can video games be art? Because the argument has been made in varying sections of, you know, the media. Okay, well, are video games just, you know, murder simulators for kids? Grand Theft Auto.
Jack Thompson.
Jack Thompson.
Rockstar Games.
Or are they a form of art? Because, I mean, there are varying, you know, there are, you know, art styles are, you know, becoming more and more impressive. I mean, the varying points of view told throughout storylines nowadays. I mean, it's very arguable that, you know, it's becoming its own art form.
I think what's happening is that the mainstream society is being forced to recognize the legitimacy of video games because it's the only industry that isn't going down the crapper. Movies and music are both just...
Even opposite, so.
Yeah. Movies and music are spiraling the drain in terms of
its
ability to maintain revenue, whereas video games are just taking more and more share of, you know, entertainment dollars. So
it looks like this exhibition is going to cover everything from like the Atari moving forward.
Right.
Also, one of the guests there is the dude who invented Pong, Nolan Bushnell.
Awesome.
That's pretty
sweet.
That's awesome. I would really love it if we interviewed him. If we had the chance, I would.
We'll
take
definitely
it.
See about it.
I hope he gives us a hug.
Yeah.
I hugged the man.
I think I either want a hug or a handshake just so that some of his greatness could rub off on me.
Dude, that'd be funny to just dress up in a costume. It's just
Was it a giant pong block?
Just a giant white block.
Two of us will be the blocks,
fan.
And one of us will be the pong ball, and that person will just run back and forth.
You should go for us.
Just go towards him. Just go.
As we'll just sort of advance towards him.
And then there'll be no beeping. There's no sound effects. Just us going beep, beep.
And then the fourth person will just be normal.
No. The fourth person will have the joystick.
Yeah. Or the turn knob, which
the
is
fourth
the
person
one.
Has to play E.T. Go the video game.
It used to be a turn knob.
I know, it used to be a turn knob.
Yeah, the original one was the turn knob.
All right. Well, that's one of our big events in March.
And then
we have another one coming up in April, and that's Yuri's Night in D.C.
Yuri!
Woo. Which a lot of people don't know about.
None of you know why I just did that, but...
Right,
Yuri's Night is basically a celebration of the first manned spaceflight in the world, and you know that doesn't sound like a big deal, but a lot of nerds, you know, come out for this party, and it's pretty awesome. You can check their website for this.
Yuri Gagarin was the first man in space.
Yes, and that's on April 14th. That's 2 days after, but that's because nobody parties on Thursday.
Yeah, obviously.
Except for this guy,
not in my college.
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously, if it's at a club, the club wants to make money, and you know.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not in college anymore, so
yeah.
I don't party on Thursdays either.
Well, there you go. But, yeah, so we'll be there in a press capacity, so if you guys want to come see us, say hello. You'll see us in our Boldly Going Nowhere t-shirts.
And badges.
And badges.
Yeah, we will actually
badges.
Look.
We have badges at both of these events. I just can't get over that. I mean,
yeah. Press badges.
We have this little mom podcast, and then we're expanding with badges.
Yeah. Badges.
Badger.
No,
we will actually look semi-legitimate.
No, yeah. it was nice because basically we emailed them and we were like, hey, we're trying to get some promotion done in the local area. We want to build up events in the D.C., Baltimore, you know, Maryland area. You know, would you guys mind if we came in and interviewed, you know, and, you know, did some, you know, some work? And they were like, no, not at all. Just let us know how many people are coming. So to both organizations, we really do appreciate all you're doing for us.
Yeah. All right. So we'll have more events coming up in later months, and we will announce those as well. And of course, we will be continuing to go to the monthly film series at the Weinberg, presented
yes.
by Flying Dog Brewery.
February 29th is Time Bandits.
Ooh, Time Bandits. That'll be fun.
And to find out all these events and more, just go to Boldly Going Nowhere's page, click on the left-hand side, and it should be events. Click on that, and you'll see the link to the Beginning of the End of the World Tour, Part 1.
Yes, because Facebook only lets us have 4 months for an event. So this is Part 1.
Yes. Part 1. So you should
don't make a Part 3 like Godfather did.
Could you also call
No, this Part 3, we'll have a Part 3, but it won't suck.
Yeah, so you should click attending on that event so you can see all the updates.
Could you also call this episode 1?
No, because I'll have to murder you. See, this is why guests don't
shut
talk.
Up.
Yeah, we said don't speak unless spoken to. No, get out.
We already have 17 in that.
Go on, get.
Tending.
Anyway,
go on, get.
But also,
can't you see we don't want you anymore?
Also, something to make the guests. I mean, something to make people aware of is that this is not just strictly limited to the events that we've posted up already. Those are just events we know we're already going to. But in order to make this, you know, more an event for people in the local area, we want you to make suggestions for events that we can go to. Because obviously we want to promote more local things.
Yeah, we'll do pretty much anything.
Yeah.
Kids' bar mitzvahs? I don't see why not. Company picnics? Sure.
Yeah, let's go to the bar mitzvah.
Dude, I would.
Hey, how about the Renaissance Festival?
Renaissance Festival?
Yeah, I would go there.
Although, if we're going to go, we got to go in October because the heat is unbearable and all those other
things. Old podcast.
What about Pinzig?
No. Because I honestly...
What happened to our audio equipment? It's ruined. It got stolen by the Vikings next door.
No,
You should have seen that coming, Sean. We're Vikings.
So here's the thing. It's not that. It's the fact that, you know, I don't have 2 weeks to take off to do one event.
Jesus Christ, that thing takes 2 weeks?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Wow, that Christ. Is intense.
They pretty much shut down the
haven. Basically, they build a medieval village, and then they live in it for a week, and then the second week they have war all week.
Yeah, where it's constant battle.
All right, so there are some things. There are some things we will not do, and that includes all SCA
Christ.
Events.
Not because we don't want to, it's just because we honestly can't take off 2 weeks to do it.
I don't really want to. Okay, so that's one thing. We have events coming up. We're going to actually cover events. And, of course, the biggest change, and I feel like we definitely buried the lead on this one, but it's a brand new season of Boldly Going Nowhere, which, of course, means the obligatory format changes.
Obligatory.
We're obliging you by formatting.
Obligatory.
Obligatory.
I can't talk.
That's pretty
obligatory format changes that you've all come to know and love.
I mean, right now we're in 26 minutes, but we usually do like an hour or something. But right now we took a hammer and took a regular episode and then smashed it into bits. Then you, the audience, get to pick up the pieces.
I like to think of it more as ice sculpting, where we just carefully chiseled away at it. And then we revealed the parts that you actually want to listen to,
I think both of your euphemisms are just no good. Basically, what we did was we basically took the four-man sit-down where we basically just ramble on. We nudged that down to about half an hour, you know, for a more listenable
We're going to have to wrap up in 3 minutes.
Yeah, that's fine. We took the individual segments, the music segment, the movie segment, and... the indie games segment
or all games.
Like my music is not all indie music, your games are not all
although
indie
usually
games
it is.
And basically make those separate episodes. That way, if you just want to listen to the music part, you can just listen to the music episode. If you hate my music segment and you just want to listen to the movie segment, you can just download the movie segment. And
or if you like our rambling, you can just listen to Boldly Going Nowhere.
Yeah, and if you actually enjoy the parts where we just talk about old people and
and why they
various experiences,
then why they hate Joe Perry, then yeah,
sign
you can do
language
that too.
And various
also,
issues like that, you can listen to the regular Boldly Going Nowhere format, which is not
also,
changing except for the fact that it will be shorter and more easily digestible.
And also, you can listen to BGN correspondents such as Brian Massey here.
Heyo,
and he'll. I think you're reviewing beer.
Reviewing beer.
So if you like beer, he'll be coming in every now and again, and he'll have his BGN correspondent. And we also have some other people lined up, too.
Yeah, so you'll now be able to get basically a daily dose of BGN, but in much smaller
increments.
Fun-sized
chunks. And I think that's going
to
be
You're going to get to hear a lot more of me. That reminds me. Speaking of fun size, I heard that the candy companies now, especially the chocolate candy companies, chocolate bar candy companies,
uh-huh.
are going to be shrinking down their sizes now. So the king sizes are going to get even smaller now because of
health issues. Are the fun sizes are going to remain the same?
Well, fun size will now
gonna,
be.
I hear everything's going to go down another size.
I think that means fun the size unfun will now be visible only with a microscope.
The unfun the reason, size.
The reason why they're doing this is because of the big old health issue. They're trying to reduce the calorie intake, so they're reducing
Man.
The size.
Why can't the government just let us be fat
bastards? Diabetes in a wrapper.
Yeah, seriously, why can't the government just let us?
So within this year, you're going to start seeing a change, maybe like Halloween. As far as I know.
Yeah, all seriously.
All right, we should wrap up now.
Wait, there's one more thing we got to talk about, and that's the fundraiser.
Oh, yes, and we will have the fundraiser. It'll be soon. We'll announce the site. I don't want to know if I want to announce it yet, but now.
No, it's fine.
I'm waxing my legs and everything.
I can announce it now? Well, pre-bookmark it.
Yeah. Consider this just a tease.
It's a tease. Just go to indiegogo.com/cashwavestudios, and that's the site it will be at. Just put it in your bookmark. Don't click on it because it's not going to go anywhere. So, and then you have that. And then when we say, click on the link and
spend
some money on us.
Yeah, but this, like I said, this is just a tease. Believe me, when we get into the real fun drive, we're going to spend more than 2 minutes talking about the fundraiser.
Oh yeah, and we'll be really annoying about it.
Oh yeah,
and we won't stop until you donate. Yeah. We won't stop.
There'll be stuff you'll actually want out of this.
Yeah, there'll be lots of fun bonus content.
Seriously. Will there be silly gags and such on the video websites and stuff?
Oh yes.
I don't know, Brian. I guess you'll just have to stay tuned.
Stay tuned and find out.
Yes, for those of you who aren't aware what Indiegogo is kind of like the hipster Kickstarter. It's so popular you've never even heard of it. It's so underground you've never even heard of it.
So popular you've never even heard of it.
Yeah.
You oxymoron.
I think that should be the tagline for this show, honestly. So popular you've never even heard of it. That should be our new
shirt.
That should be our new tagline.
That's actually pretty good.
All right.
That should be our new tagline. All right, well, with that... Until next time, and from now on, that's going to be my sign-in. Like, I'm going to say, welcome to Boldly Going Nowhere. It's the show that's so popular, you've never even heard of it.
Yeah, good.
All right, well, until next time, I'm Justin Eisenstadt.
I'm Colin Kakamas.
I'm Sean Holmes.
And I'm Benjamin Price.
And we are Boldly Going Nowhere.
Outro.
Boldly Going Nowhere is a Castwave Studios production. For other shows and more, visit castwavestudios.com. Wow, that sounded great.